I'm looking forward to that day. The trumpet's going to sound. It's going to happen. And there are many scoffers who say, where's the promises of its coming? You've been saying it, and you've been saying it for years, that it's coming again. Where is that promise? And the promise is made clear and plain. He's coming again. And it could be today. Amen? It could be now. Believe in the imminent return of Christ. All prophecies have been fulfilled that need to be fulfilled in order for the Lord to return. And it could be today. And I'm looking forward to our Heavenly Father's return. His Son's return. Amen? Well, happy Father's Day to all our fathers here today. And hope you've had a good morning. Maybe you already got your Father's Day gift. Or maybe you're getting it for lunch. I don't know. You know? And boy, what a good Father's Day retreat we had. The father, men and boys retreat. I always wanted to call it camp out because we called it camp out for years. But now we've gotten all fancy and stuff. And now everybody gets to sleep in the AC and not just the preacher and Brother Clark. And so, yeah, so it's been really nice. And appreciate all the work. And we just had a terrific time. Appreciate the food and many who prepared and helped. And just it turned out great. We had, I think, 60 from our church go. And then we had 120 total, or 130 total there at the men and boys. And had a teenager boy get saved. And just had a great time and good preaching and good activities. And we'll look forward to next year doing it again. And what a blessing. If you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Am I a little loud or not? No? Fine? Who's all hot? Who's all okay? The okays win. I don't like when the okays win, so we're going to let you win today because it's probably about all the AC can do anyway. So, Genesis chapter 5. A few months ago, we touched on this subject a couple of times. And I want to touch on it again today. It goes along with, it absolutely goes along with Father's Day. And so I hope that you, it'll be a number one, a blessing to you, but also a challenge. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. And the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. There's a lot of messages in there, but not our main one. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. If you haven't underlined that in your Bible, you should. Had a son in his own likeness and after his image. After his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for your love, and just what a wonderful weekend you gave us, and what a wonderful time we've had with our sons and with the men of the church, and what a blessing it is to be a part of such a wonderful church family. And as we think about this subject, and as we read your word, we do pray this morning that each of us as fathers, each of us as men, would be the example to our sons that we should be. Help us, Lord, as people of God, to follow in your son's steps. We ask this in your name. Amen. I've said this before, but there's a young husband wrote home from his new job saying, "Made foreman. Feather in my cap." A few weeks later, he wrote again saying, "Made manager, another feather in my cap." After some weeks, he wrote again saying, "Fired, send money for a train fare." His wife unfeelingly telegraphed back, "Use feathers and fly home." I can tell a joke if I read it. Several other stories I could tell and examples I could read and talk about the father-son relationship. One proverb says this. It says, "If you always live with those who are lame, you yourself will learn to limp." It's amazing how we follow in our earthly father's steps. How that we so readily resemble and so many of the things we follow after them. We see the story here that God has given us, the true story, of course, of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were created in God's image. And I referred to this a few weeks ago, a few months back, but I want to refer to it again. It says there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Again, notice what the Bible says. Let us make man in our image. The Trinity saying, let us make man in our image. Let, after our likeness. And there's certainly a difference that we see there. God said, let us make man in our image. And what does that mean? And I described this a few months ago, that God is not necessarily saying that we are created in the physical image of God. And though I think there are some points we can make that Jesus Christ in bodily form came, and there's lots of Christophanies in the Old Testament. Again, not the purpose of my message this morning. But God said, let us make man in our image. That image is the mind, the will, and the emotions that God has. A mind to think. A mind to think. And we think about not just think of things, but think like God. I mean, to have that ability to do so. Reasoning and all those things. Then we think of emotions. Mind and the emotions. Emotions to feel. What if God had not given us the ability to feel? What if we had never had the ability to love and to, you know, to get angry or any of these things? See, God created us in His image. We see all these feelings from God in the Bible. You can read throughout the Old Testament where He got angry, where He talked about compassion, where He felt other emotions. And aren't you glad that we can relate in that way to God? He's created us in His image. We're not robots. We've been given a mind. We've been given an emotions. We've been given a will to choose. God didn't create us as robots. I will love the Lord. Glory, hallelujah, you know. No, you chose to come this morning. And look what you got yourself into, amen? You chose to come this morning. You choose whether or not to believe and to, whether or not to read your Bible, whether or not to teach a Sunday school class, or whatever it may be. God has given us free choice, a will to choose. And I think about all of God's creation, all of God's creatures He's created, the seraphims, the cherubims, the angels. These are not just robots either. They were all created with a choice, with a will. And they choose, the seraphims choose to say, glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We think about that. A mind, a will, and emotions of God. We are created in His image. He made mankind, He made man perfect there in the Garden of Eden. It says He made him after His own likeness. He made him sinless. He made him selfless. He made man. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was what? Very good." I don't know about you, but there's some things on this earth now that are not very good. Tornadoes are not very good. You know, hailstones the size of softballs is not very good. So something has changed. We know the flood happened and the earth changed at that time. But also mankind changed. I'm looking forward to the new heaven and new earth. By the way, it's going to be remade, made perfect once again. The Lamb will lay down with the Lion. Everybody with me? We once again will have amazing plants, you know, huge animals and all the things that we had before the flood that we don't see today. But mankind changed. We see this in Genesis chapter 5, where the Bible says and makes it very clear that Seth was begotten in Adam's image, in Adam's likeness. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says that Adam was created in God's likeness, in God's image. Everybody see the distinguishing mark? If you don't get that, you don't get the message. Seth was created in his dad's image. Why? Well, because of the fall of man. Adam sinned in that Garden of Eden. Adam took of that fruit willingly, disobeying God. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." All have sinned. Can I remind you again, the Bible says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Yes, Eve was deceived and took of the fruit. But Adam took of it willfully, choosing to disobey God. And therefore, because of his selfishness, his willful disobedience against God, because of his sin, he became a sinner. And therefore, that sin is passed to his son Seth, and to his son Seth's son, and to his son, to his son, to his son, until one day Eric Crawford was born in the huge city of Bowie, Texas, and was born a sinner. I was born selfish. Adam was not created that way. But we are born selfish. We are born in our daddy's likeness. Think about that for a moment. The Bible says, for since by man came death, sin entered into the world through Adam. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. What does that mean? Well, through Adam all die, the next verse says, but in Christ all shall be made alive. See, under Adam, because of Adam's sin, and because that sin is passed from generation to generation to generation to the next generation to the next generation, all the way up until this time in which we live, and you were born, and I were born, we were born sinners, we are sinful, we are selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. We're all selfish by nature. And it's our selfish nature that we receive from our fathers that the Bible says that we are under the wrath of God because of that sin. If you want to call it the original sin, which is what a lot of scholars use that term, the original sin, we are all sinners. But the Bible says, by one man came death, by the Christ, by the Lord, by Jesus Christ, all will be made alive. Why? Because Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, went to a cross and died there, and paid the price for my sins. And when I put my faith and my trust in Him, and His life, and His death, and His resurrection on the third day, I receive everlasting life. My sins, that sinful nature, my sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven in Jesus Christ. My sins, the Bible says, are washed away. Therefore, I am no longer under the penalty of sin. I'm no longer under the wrath of God, but I'm simply now in Jesus Christ. Death came through Adam. Life comes through Jesus Christ. We are under the wrath of God through Adam. We are under and in the eternal, precious forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I've been born again. Adam's son Seth was made in the likeness of Adam, sinful and earthly creature. Something changed. Seth was not born after the image of God, but was born, and I believe this is absolutely a biblical term, into Satan's family. Well, I'll give you some verses here in a moment. I was born with my father's characteristics, both Satan and my earthly father, my biological father. Some of you have met my dad. You know that I look just like him. I was making, Brother Smith's son is here this morning, and he looks just like him. I said, that is amazing how much they look like each. Anyway, me and my dad look a lot like each other. We have the, of course, all of us look somewhat like our parents. Number two, we all act somewhat like our parents. Our actions, our attitudes, our temperaments. I had the temperament of my dad. All of us could be described in that way. We eat somewhat like our parents. My dad and my mom are the blame for the way that I eat. The manners that we have, even now working with our children saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, I think if you were to walk up to my 10-year-old boy and ask him to do something, if you're an adult, 99% of the time he's going to say, yes, sir, or he's going to say, yes, ma'am. 99% of the time, you may get the one time he doesn't do it. He's not perfect. Pastor's kids are not perfect. Everybody with me? Though you think they should be, they're not. Those manners I received from my parents, I still have a very difficult time. I still have people tell me many times, don't tell me yes, yes sir, that's my dad. Don't say yes sir to me. It's just natural for me. Even at the men's camp out, the first night or the morning I had my hat on. I'm sorry, that night, Friday night I had my hat on. I said, well, I'm just going to keep my hat on. Couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in the service. I had to set us, I was taught when you go to a service, you don't wear a hat, right? Certainly don't wear a hat when you pray. I always take my hat off when I pray, but even in a service, even an outdoor service in a tabernacle, I just didn't feel comfortable keeping it on. Just the mannerisms and the things that we receive from our family, from our moms and from our dads, all of these things, we eat somewhat like them, messy and stuff like that, you know, and so forth. We think somewhat like our fathers. I get it all the time. If I hang around with some of the people from who I grew up with, they'll say, you sound just like your dad. My dad's greeting, when he greets anybody, is howdy. And I don't know what's happened the last several years. That's what I greet everybody with. I'm like, howdy. I go up to camp, you know, all them Yankees up there, I say, howdy. There's some Yankees in the auditorium. By the way, the Yankees in our auditorium outnumber the Southerners, so I understand that. So when I offend you, I'm offending a bunch of people, you know. But howdy, how are you? You know, it's a greeting. It's a you sound like your dad. You learn things from your dad and from your mom, and you just it's incorporated into your life and into the way your mannerisms and all these things. We walk somewhat like, I walk just like my dad. If you were to see my dad walk, and we're built the same way, we walk a little bow-legged, and just walk like my dad. I talk a lot like my dad. Even places and things that I like to do are a lot like my parents. Especially like my dad. The impact we have on our children is just amazing. I think there, and we were talking about this at the camp out some, we must remember, dads, the impact that our kids are following in our steps. Fathers and sons, your daughter, dads, your sons and your daughters are following and watching you. Don't forget. Watching every step you take. How you act is how they will act. Your habits. I don't understand it. You smoke and you tell your kids not to smoke. Most of the time it doesn't work. You know, you drink, but you tell your kids not to drink. You're a hypocrite. They're going to follow in your steps. Amen. They're watching you. Your attitudes about things. Your attitudes about church, your attitudes about worship, your attitudes about the pastor, your attitude about your Sunday school teachers, your attitude about teachers in general. You know, there was a rule in our home growing up, and the same rule applies in my family, but in our family growing up, the teacher was always right. I'd come home and complain about a teacher, and my dad would just, whatever. He wouldn't give it a time of day. He said, you do what that teacher says? Oh, but that teacher's out to get me. Bull. And then he'd start threatening to whoop me and stuff like that. Now we have parents who defend their kids over teachers. Your attitude is the attitude your children will have. You say, well, sometimes you'll have a bad teacher. I understand that. You know what? If your kid's in that class, you're going to have to get along with that teacher somehow. You know, bring them an apple or something. I don't know. I tell our kids all the time, Brother John, the umpire is always right. No, they're not. Yes, they are. If you're in the HSA here in town, can I tell you the umpire is always right? Because you can't change it. He's always right then. Anyway, some of y'all get that one. Some of the attitudes that parents have. I mean, I go to a T-ball game and watch some of these parents go livid. I mean, just go crazy over a call or over this or over that. I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? Your little kid is watching you. That little boy is watching you. Winning is not everything. Winning is good. And I'm certainly not for this newfangled idea of not keeping score. I think you should keep score and learn to win and lose. Amen? Boy, that's a bad mistake we've made. Kids need to learn how to win and win the right way and have the right attitude and learn how to lose the right way and have the right attitude. From the very beginning, they ought to be learning that. But our attitudes about everything, and I'm sorry, I'm related more to sports than anything, but man, our attitudes about everything. Your kids are following you. They're watching you. Be careful. What you say is what they're going to say. You know, you cuss and you tell your kids not to cuss. They're watching you. They're watching you. They're going to act like you. Your temperaments, your habits, your attitudes. How you look, they will look. I could go into that. Your hairstyle. I mean, it's amazing how much we end up copying our parents. I'm really copying my dad. Everybody see? Don't even have to bend down anymore, do I? You can kind of see it even when I'm standing up straight. How you think, that little boy and that little girl is going to think the same way, for the most part. How you walk is how they will walk. Mom and dads, let's be reminded that our kids are watching us. Don't say to them, do as I do, do as I say, not as I do. They're watching you, following you. We not only do we follow in our parents' steps, we also follow in our other father's steps, if you would. I'm talking about Satan. And I'll give you a few verses here that clarify what I'm trying to say. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is speaking. He says to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil." We were born children of the devil. Ephesians 2, 3 says we are born children of wrath. I'm not saying, you got to remember now, we're not talking about some guy in a little pitchfork with a little tail. You know, the Bible speaks of Satan as being an angel of light, a beautiful angel. And we're not talking about the physical characteristics. Just as Adam and Eve were created in the likeness of God and created in the likeness of the Son and created in the likeness of the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about the physical image necessarily. Adam was not created in the physical image of God. The Bible says God is a spirit, right? Everybody with me? And the same thing with the devil. We are not born in his image physically, but we receive that selfishness. We receive that nature, that wantonness, desire for things that are wrong, things that are sinful. Nobody else has that problem? Oh yeah, outside, on the outside, we can wash it up, can't we? I got up this morning, I went to the mirror, and I was a little weary from the camp out like some of you others, and I had to, get the mat out of my eyes, Nobody else has to do that? I'm just going to be gross a little bit. And then, my hair was like this, what's left of it, and I had to go fix it, and, I went and even sprayed some cologne on, because all of us men stink, and put a little cologne on, and got the deodorant on, and just tried to do my very best with what I got. And I went to the closet and decided what I was going to wear, and I chose just about the same thing I wear every Sunday. I've gotten the habit of wearing like three ties. If anybody else knows that, now you will. I say, "Preacher, that's the same tie you had on Wednesday night." Don't care. Amen. My wife will now start watching, and you watch, my ties will be changed now. It's okay. That's all right. But I did my very best to polish it, put it together, make the outside look as presentable as possible, and all of us, sinful people, do that. We all can put on the show. But on the inside, Jesus said to those same Pharisees that he said, "You are of your father the devil," he said to them as well, he said to them, "You clean the cup on the outside, but on the inside your cup is dirty." He said, "You wash the sepulcher, you wash the grave on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones." We are all sinners by nature. We are all selfish by nature. Practically speaking, we're selfish. I mean, just from the very little things, as of, "That's my piece of cake." "No, you can't have it." I mean, "That's my chair." All the way up to big things that we are selfish about with our spouses, that we don't take the time with our kids we should. I mean, just think about the practical things. being selfish. We're just selfish. Kids are not the only ones who are selfish. We adults are selfish as well. The greatest thing you can do in your marriage is to be selfless to your spouse, to treat them as you would want to be treated. We think about that for a moment. I'm just making the case that we are of our father, the devil. That selfish, even evil sometimes tendencies that we find ourselves in, and I'll describe it more here in a moment. We look like the devil many times. We think back before you got saved, the outside even didn't match up. I think a Christian ought to look different, right? Before you're saved, we think about the actions of the devil and the worldliness that we see around us. Man, the worldliness we see around us, the immorality we see around us, and people partaking of that. Eating like the devil, by that I mean watching things we shouldn't watch and music we shouldn't listen to and just garbage in, garbage out. Amen? I don't know if I'm describing a lot of people in here, but I'm describing myself. Amen? We think like the devil. The Bible speaks of that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm telling you right now, if each of us could know the thoughts of the person next to us, maybe not the thoughts right now, hopefully they're pretty clean, but if we could know the thoughts of the person next to us, even our spouses, all the time, how scary would that be? Many times before we're saved, we walk like the devil, go into places we shouldn't go. But all that can change, and I'm glad it did. When I was 6 years old, it changed for me, and I got born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 John 3:7, Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, thee, ye must be born again. See, I had a second birth, and in my second birth, I received a new nature. I was born after the likeness of God. My second birth, I was born after the likeness of God. I received that, if you would, that new nature. I received the new nature. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:12-21, I mentioned a moment ago, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old I accepted Christ as my Savior. I put my faith and my trust in Him. My sins were forgiven. That old man within me, that old sinful nature within me was forgiven and put down, and I was given a new nature. I was born again. Born the first time in the likeness of my Father. Born the second time in the likeness of my Heavenly Father. In Adam, we are all sinners. In Christ, we are all made alive. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope today you've received that gift of eternal life. Certainly nothing you have to earn. It's freely given to us by simply putting our faith and our trust in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. His life, His death, and His resurrection. And being born again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that wrath of God that was placed upon our sins. Saved from the penalty of sin. And that penalty is death, hell, and the grave. Saved from the consequences of sin. God forgives us from the eternal consequences of sin. And God forgives us and gives us a home in heaven. God forgives us and gives us a life now that's worth living. God forgives us, and God, if you would, we're born again. That term is so great. Born again. Born again out of Satan's family and into the what? Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in His blood. Man, cleansed by His blood. Our beloved Heavenly Father, after our new birth, after our second birth, our makeup becomes like our Heavenly Father. We began to look like Christ. We should. We began to look like Him. We began to following Christ's steps. Christian, that word Christian means Christ-like. They were called Christians first at Antioch. That means we are following in His steps. As Christians, we want to follow in Christ's steps. We want to mimic Him. What would Jesus wear? What would Jesus do? We act like our Father. We're to be ambassadors of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We began to do for others and not for ourselves. As Christians, we ought to look out for others around us. Paul said in Philippians that all men are like-minded, naturally care for their state, for no man is like-minded. And now I can't even quote it. But all men are naturally selfish. All women are naturally selfish. And we receive a new nature. We receive, when we're born again, we receive a new nature, a different want-to. A want-to to do what's right. A want-to to do for others. A want-to to live for others. That's what we receive when we get born again. Begin to do for others. Can I remind you? The Bible says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. You can walk away from a service. You can walk away from your Bible knowing the truth. I said this one tonight. Our education far outsees our application. We as Christians know a lot more Bible truth, a lot more things and places and things we ought to be doing, and we're not doing them. We're not applying them. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. As Christians, as born-again believers, we receive that new nature. We begin to look like our Heavenly Father. We begin to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to act like Him. We begin to eat like Him. By that I mean, the Bible says the Word of God is our bread. We begin to have a desire to read His Word. We have a desire for the things of God. We have a desire to come to church and hear the preaching and hear the good music from the church. We have a desire for the things of God. We have a desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thinking changes. Remember I said before, under that old nature, under the old Satan, his family, our thinking was all messed up. But under the new nature, under being born again, we receive a different thought life. In other words, Romans chapter 7, Paul says the things that I want to do, those are the things I don't do, the things I do, those are things I should. Paul said there's a war within my members. And from here on out, as a Christian, there's a war within us. A war one that wants to do right, and that old nature that draws us back to do wrong. And Paul says, I'm back and forth. And it's more than just Satan on one side of your shoulder and the angel on the other side of your shoulder. It's more than that. Is that now that I am born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I have become dead to those things, Romans chapter 6 says, and I become an instrument of righteousness. I don't have to sin. I do not have to do wrong. I don't have to live selfishly. I don't have to live that way anymore. Because the Holy Spirit inside of me empowers me to live right. The Holy Spirit empowers me to do right. To be selfless. We simply must rely upon Him. Our thinking begins to change. We have a desire to do right. I hope this morning you have that desire. The greatest evidence that you are saved is a desire to do right. Lastly, our walking changes. Our kids are watching us. Our Heavenly Father is watching us. The Bible says that we ought to come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. We ought to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not to go out and be monks. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We ought to walk in Christ's steps. We ought to follow in His steps. Our walking should change. When you get saved, your music should change. When you get saved, your dress should change. Hello? When you get saved, your words should change. Christians shouldn't cuss. Daddy shouldn't cuss. When you get saved, when you get born again, that new nature that wants to do right, the places we go should change. We don't go to Billy Bob's as a Christian. We don't go to the bar as a Christian. Hello? We don't go to places where worldly things are going on. Got quiet. Our kids are watching us. Oh, you say, well, I can go to the bar, I'm all right, I don't get drunk. Listen, and alcohol may not affect you in that way. But you're being an example to your kid. What if your kid is an alcoholic? What if you're the reason why your kid becomes a drunk? Oh, you say, but I just socially drink at Christmas and at Easter, you know, whatever. Not at Easter, but hopefully you don't drink at Easter. I just socially drink here and there. What if you're okay with it, but your kid isn't? Man, your kids are watching you. They're going to follow in your steps. They're watching you. Fathers, listen. If anything this morning, just be reminded that your kids are watching you. What a thought. What a reminder. Your kids are watching you. Christians this morning, the world is watching us. And in a day when Christianity has been watered down, we're going to be reminded that we're to follow in Jesus' steps. Where would He go? What would He do? What would He drink? I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to have favor with Jesus Christ. I want to have favor in the blessings of God upon my life. I want to live for Him. Romans chapter 7. I don't want to live for those earthly things anymore. I don't want to live according to the devil and the selfishness anymore. I want to live for Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful desire in me to do so. Just as much as I want my earthly father to be pleased with me, I want my heavenly father to be pleased with me as well. He saved me. He gave his son's life for me. I was bought with a price. Therefore, I should glorify my heavenly father. Do what's right. We resemble. We absolutely have many of the characteristics of our earthly father. And as human beings, we resemble also the characteristics of either Satan's family or God's family. My question to you this morning is, who do you resemble? Who do you resemble? Not here this morning when you're all dressed up and got the cologne on and so forth, but when you walk out the doors at the house, when you go to your home and you go to your work and you go to places of entertainment or whatever the case is, who do you resemble? Who do you resemble? Do you resemble the family of Satan and the selfishness and the old worldly stuff? Or do you resemble Jesus Christ? Have you been born again this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You say, well, man, if I've got to do all those things and live that way. No, I'm saying after you get saved, you want to live that way. Oh, just a bunch of don'ts and this and don't do that. No, no don'ts. Jesus simply says, follow me. Corinthians just says, follow in His steps. It's not a religion. It's not 10 ways to make you acceptable to God. No. Follow in Jesus' steps. It's a relationship, not a religion. I have a desire to be closer to my Savior. Is your Father in heaven? Is He your Heavenly Father? I tell stories about my dad all the time. But my dad had the greatest impact on my life and still is impacting my life all the time. And even at this point in my life, any time, I want my father, my earthly father, to be pleased with me. I want the heavenly father to be pleased with me. I want to have favor with God. Many times in the family growing up, I would get out of fellowship with my Lord. I'm sorry, out of fellowship with my dad. I would do something that would offend him or cause him to be angry with me. And sometimes he disciplined me, but sometimes even then the fellowship wasn't restored just because he chastened me. Our Heavenly Father chastens us, right? But just because my dad chastened me, did not restore the fellowship. It wasn't until I went to him and said I was sorry that the fellowship was restored. Maybe as dads and moms, we just need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to follow in your son's steps in a greater way. Help me to be a better example to my sons and my daughters. I want to be all that he wants me to be in my family. Because if I'm all that he wants me to be, I'll be all that my children ever need. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. And we thank you that you have given us an example to live by. That if we'll simply get closer to you, closer to your son, that our earthly relationships will turn out as good as well. God, I pray that you would help us as dads to follow in your steps. Help us to live a life that's pleasing to you. And God, if there's someone here this morning who is not saved, if there's someone here who's never been born again, I pray today that they would have the courage and by way of the Holy Spirit to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, thank you for what you do in my life. Thank you that you have given me guidance and leadership in my life. Help me, Lord, to be a better dad. We ask this in your name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll turn to hymn 153, I Surrender All. Good song.